And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
We're the Pop Patrol. Head to the dirt.
Gotta give us what we want. Gotta give us what we need.
Worry about my posse getting jumped. Cause if we ever do, yo TB, pop the trunk.
Cause we make a pop the trunk and hit the switch.
Now act stupid, I'll pop the trunk. Now give me your boom, boom.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, dog?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in. Center stage on the
and
mic.
We're putting it on wax. It's the new style.
4-3
Reggie.
And 2-1.
What up?
Reggie, you haven't messed up the intro in a while. Usually that's my job. We're Jalen Jacoby. What do?
We get a people. What they want.
Reggie went out this weekend. I know that for sure.
Yeah.
We have a very special guest joining us on the program, Jalen Rose.
We have a mogul joining the show today.
Mm-hmm.
A gentleman that is helping change the landscape of what it's like to not only represent NBA players, but also do the kind of business deals that just haven't been done before in the industry.
Nope.
His name is Rich Paul.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me.
So, a couple of things. You represent some of the top players in sports and entertainment. One of those guys, a guy named Anthony Davis, requested a trade from the Pelicans. And by some executives and media types, was criticized by how it went down. What is your take of some of the fallout that happened from his request that ultimately led to him joining LeBron James with the Lakers?
Well, I think, you know, to clarify, he stated his intentions. And his intentions were that basically, you know, he felt his time was up. And, you know, and he stated his intentions and felt like he wanted to do right by not only himself, but the organization to be able to then make a decision and make sure that they made the right decision for themselves while also honoring, you know, his intentions. That was seen different than what most would think. And in that, it was taken a different way. But apparently what it looks like was he was just ahead of his time, because at that time, the unpopular decision became popular this July, as we've seen guys pretty much move on who were under contract for multiple years to a destination that they wanted to be. They actually went in the office of executives. And, you know, I don't think that would be the norm going forward in our league. But, you know, it's okay in certain instances. And you know, Anthony has a profound respect for Ms. Benson and the organization there. And as a man, he just felt like this was his time. And so, you know, it's never a good way to break up with anybody, but you know, it was a decision that he felt was right for him, and I felt was right for him, and wanted to back him in that. And just then, part of my responsibility is being the bad guy, so you understand that. But it's done with respect, you know. There's no malice included there, and you know, in our league, sometimes, you know, you can have 364 good days in a marriage and one bad one. And I don't perceive as necessarily bad. It's just that we agree to disagree, and you understand that. And I'm just glad everyone was able to move on. And I think, you know, both sides benefited. So that's good. And, you know, David Griffin was great, throughout our conversations, and moving things along. And he did that. So it all worked out in the end.
Well, it certainly did. It felt like one of the places that Anthony wanted to move on to were the Los Angeles Lakers, where he does join that roster, which includes LeBron James. He spoke with our Rachel Nichols about the future with him and the Lakers, and he made it pretty clear. He's got 1 year left on his deal. He's going to play that year. Then he's going to readdress where he's at. He's also renting in Los Angeles. If you're a Laker fan, aren't you a little concerned about these facts? I mean, how do you feel about how Anthony Davis handles the questions about his future?
Well, you know, fans are going to be fans, and you have to understand how they look at things. But as for Anthony and all of us, we got to take it 1 year at a time. Have to take it 1 year at a time. And so his focus right now is coming in, trying to be the best Laker he could be, and and you know, put all his efforts into competing for a championship. As you know, it comes with expectation, especially being a player of that stature. It comes with expectation. And so I just think that's what his focus is. You know, to read into one thing or the next, you know, I leave that for everybody else.
Rich, this summer, everybody's talking about player empowerment. Were you in the mid-90s when everybody was taken from the Fab Five and owning stuff, and we didn't get a chance to own the black shoes, the black shots, we didn't trademark the long shorts? Now you got everybody talking about player empowerment. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think empowerment comes with another word, another E word, which is education. And the athlete has to be educated in order to empower himself. And it's not as if, you know, it's like the players are taking over. No, it's a conversation. It's partner. We have great bodies of governance. I know they don't want to use the ownership no more in our league, but we have great, you know, I'll use it for now, owners in our league in which you can have conversations with and understand and want you to be more than just a basketball player and understand that today's player can now become a business due to social media. And so when you talk about the player empowerment, it's just, you know, players are starting to educate themselves better. There's things that's more accessible to them to understand what they can and cannot do, just like understanding the law out there as a citizen. And so for me, it's always been about educating the player because they're people first. And they're only going to play this game for as long as God's willing to allow them to play. And, you know, athletes have to make their most important decisions at the youngest age, which is actually backwards when you think about life cycle. As you grow, as you become a man, as you go through things and have experiences, it allows you to make better decisions as you get older. For them, you know, it's like we're coming in, we're young in our profession, and age don't matter. There's expectation, there's responsibility, there's accountability, and then there's money. And so you have to educate yourself, number one, in order to empower yourself. And we was able to do that early on with a guy like LJ, and it just trickles down. And it's for all, you know, the entire league. And I think that the better educated the athlete is, the better our league will be, because then when you're sitting having conversations with, you know, the owner of your team, with your representation, you can have a conversation where everyone has a full understanding of what's going on. Because if I completely understand something and you barely understand it, then that's going to be a disconnect. But if you can actually understand what I completely understand, then we can have some positive traction. So, no, I wish I was around because I supported, you know, the Black Sox and you know, you guys came with the, see, people don't remember, you guys came with the Huarache. I had, you know, it was like the Fab Five had a direct correlation with culture before we even understood it. So when you guys were the Huarache, when you come back and you wore the Barkley, you pushed the Barkley because kids didn't know that. And then it just so happened that year Barkley went to the finals, and back then that shoe came out. There was a black and a white. There was only always two colorways, and this is what people don't understand about today's signature athlete. Back then, Michael, Barkley, the signature athlete guys. Well, it wasn't many. Penny. There was only two colorways that really came out. It was a white colorway and a black colorway. And then Michael had an alternate, which they came with the Carolina blue. Okay. Today's signature athlete has like 27 different colorways. Mm. And maybe three or four different silhouettes. You know, you have a low, you have a high, you have a playoff. Then you have a one that may only come out in China. Then you have a soldier, which is more, directed toward, has a lower price point, is directed towards more of a team oriented type of thing. So to carry that is different, and that goes back to the education we're talking about. You know, a lot of kids come out of college and I want my own shoe. Well, what's the sense of having your own shoe? I get that there's a dream of ours, we all dream of having our own shoe, but having your own shoe is one thing. building a business where your shoe actually sells and you create a royalty from that business that, like Penny, who's probably still getting the check right now, because of the impact that he had, his brand had. That's the difference. If your shoe just sitting on the shelf and then you find it in the, you know, service center, that don't help you. And so that goes back to the education. So that Barkley, you know, what Michigan did back then, I mean, and even the shorts, you know, the shorts was $125 back then at Champs. I had them, you know. So, and this knowledge as a consumer helped me when I went and worked at Nike, because I used to get in those meetings with Phil Knight and Mark Parker and Charlie Denson and Zanin and Lynn Merritt and all those guys back in those days. And LeBron would be like, Rich, what do you think? And I was able to run it down, not because I went to school for it, but I went to school because I was a consumer. And it was important to me, and I understood the difference between a black suede shoe versus a leather. Leather looked like a police boot. If you notice, every black shoe the Fab Five wore was what? Suede.
Yup.
Because remember,
Barclays was suede,
yeah,
no doubt about it.
The Griffies, the Pennies, the Jordans. Remember they come after that with the Junior Seau? Remember that? The Bruce
yes,
Smith?
They did.
Remember the Bruce Smith?
The Bruce Smith, the Dions, the
yeah.
Bo Jacksons.
So, you know, so, yeah, but those were great times. I couldn't imagine social media back then, but everything happens in due time for a reason, so it's all good.
Well, we needed you to represent us. And with that, as somebody that played 13 years in the league, there are going to be times where agent and client separate. It just happens. Mm-hmm. And I looked at the bottom of the ticker. I seen that Mr. Morris got an offer. 3 years, $40 million. Then I saw he had another offer. 2 years, $20 million. Then ultimately, he ended up signing with the Knicks for 1 year, $15 million. But the ticker just says that he severed ways with you.
Mm-hmm.
So can you just kind of give us a snapshot of what took place there?
Yeah, I mean, I think you said it correctly. You know, we had July 1, we had an offer, 3 years, $41 million, fully guaranteed, that we negotiated and advised him that this was a good offer to take. And, you know, ultimately he got on the phone with Lawrence and said that, you know, he was going to wait and, you know, that he didn't want to take that. And then that's when they traded for
Lawrence Frank Clippers.
Yeah, that's when they traded for Mo Harkless. And once that happens, you know, your market's going to drop down. And so then I was able to speak to the Spurs and talk about, you know, the possibilities there. And they said, well, could be, but you know, you have to really, we need to know because there's some things we need to do. And so, you know, we correlated that and kind of molded over, and then ultimately once, you know, this decision was made and the biggest domino came off the board, you know, he committed there. And they did some things once they got the verbal, they did some things. And and ultimately, you know, he changed his mind. And so, you know, at the end of the day, like you said, things happen. You understand that. I understand the double standard that comes my way, which, you know, it just comes with it. But there wasn't like someone called me and said, well, Rich, you know, can you bring us up to speed? It was just like, this is what happened. This is what we're going with. And that's what's out there. And it's like this whole, conspiracy. And you see all these TV shows and you know, you see guys that are TV personalities and they get on there and they talking about it. But I'm like,
he didn't want him to go to the Clippers because he didn't want to make it tougher on the Lakers and LeBron.
I'm like, that's the most absurd thing I ever heard. But you know, again, they run with that. And I guess that's what gets, you know, the people talking and churning. But then as things started to unfold, and you know, and Marcus did an honorable thing, and so did Markeith. They, you know, they kind of came out and said, hey, listen guys, you know, all those rumors and things like that are false. And you know, and so I respected them for that. And you know, we still have dialogue. And so, you know, at the end of the day, as men, you know, you are responsible for the decisions that you make. And, you know, he made a decision and we had a conversation as men and decided to go our separate ways. And that's fine. That's in business. That happens sometimes. But, you know, people go crazy and make this, oh, we hate each other. No, it's not like that. It's just that, you know, I'm advising you to do something. You disagree with it. We understand that, hey, this business relationship is not going the way we would like it to go. And so as men, you communicate and decide, okay, well, this is not what's best for us, and we go our separate ways. And I'm okay with that. And that's what transpired. But all the other stuff, you know. And again, I understand the double standard. So it's not like I'm like, oh, I'm mulling over. No, I get it. But I do wish that there was a, number one, a respect to call and say, hey, I'm just letting you know what I'm hearing. I just want to have a conversation. Whether you decide to side with me one way or the other, that's up to you. But at least you had the respect enough and the professionalism to call and say, hey, I just want to hear this side. And then the other side is when you do hear that it's not true or the facts finally do come out, to also have the respect enough to get on that same platform that you use to talk down or to try to drive a specific narrative and say, you know what, guys, I was wrong. This is what took place. We reported it wrong. I was wrong. They're not going to say that. So I understand that, and that's just the business that we're in. But whatever, we move on.
People don't spend enough time thinking about their couches. You know, we've all had those hand-me-down couches when we were young in your early 20s. They're dirty with stains on them. Then you get older, you get a little more sophisticated. You realize, I spent a lot of time on this couch. I need a high-quality couch. And that's why you always hear me talking about Burrow. Burrow couches and sofas are the best. I'm a huge fan. There's a lot of other people that love the comfort of Burrow too. They've got people like Michael who say Burrow has nailed it in quality craftsmanship and customer service. A woman named Katie says it's incredibly easy to set up. Only took 20 minutes. We love how versatile it is. Being able to switch the chaise is huge. Here's the thing. Couches, sometimes you buy a couch, it takes like 3 months to get there, 4 months. Like, what, you have to build it all of a sudden? With a Burrow couch, comes quickly, easy to put together, and its clever design makes it super easy to set up. You can move it around easy, and you can add and remove seats whenever you need. They also feature naturally scratch and stain resistant fabric. Because there's nothing worse than getting a new couch and then just spilling a little bit of wine on it or falling asleep with a drink in your hand. Next thing you know, spills all over the couch. It is the worst, but Burrow is totally customizable. You can pick one of five fabric colors, three leg finishes, two armrest styles, and much, much more. And here's the thing. It doesn't take 3 months to get there. At Burrow, they've got 1 week shipping, and it's always free. They stand by their furniture with a risk-free 30-day return period. Give your living room the upgrade it deserves with a Burrow sofa. You get $75 off a new sofa and 1 week free shipping by visiting burrow.com/Jacoby. That is burrow.com/Jacoby, J-A-C-O-B-Y. That's burrow.com/Jacoby for $75 off a new sofa.
Rich, you have Phil Jackson somewhere right now punching air because your company Clutch just partnered with United Talent Agency. What a big time move. What does this do for your company?
Oh man, you know, what this does for our company is it allows us to partner with a global powerhouse. And, you know, over time, we've always tried to understand the athlete, you know, where the athlete is today, where the athlete is going tomorrow. And with that, you know, this partnership with UTA allows us to represent the client just so much better with all their resources, their expertise, their know-how. It couldn't have came at a better time. And I'm looking forward to it. Like, we are extremely excited as a company to be able to have such a great partner in UTA. And, you know, throughout the conversations, it just felt right. It felt good. They were great, throughout their due diligence of us. And they understood what was important to us as a company. They wanted to understand what's important to the athlete going forward. And so I couldn't be more excited, man. It's an unbelievable, you know, opportunity for us, but also, you know, just for the athlete and what they represent today. this partnership allows us to grow in areas in which you couldn't even imagine, because just that global reach is something that you can't put a value on. And so I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a game changer for us going forward.
It is going to be a game changer because, as you know, all athletes want to be in movies and be entertainers and or vice versa. And as somebody that's built up what I consider a boutique type agency, because you represent some of the top flight players in the game, do you wonder if this partnership is going to force you to lose some level of control over what you've been able to accomplish so far?
Oh, absolutely not. No. I mean, that was one of the first things for them. They understood that that was important for me, and that's what it came out in the New York Times article. I think that I think it was quoted like, you know, we support Rich to have full control of, you know, what he does. Like, they never wanted to take away from KSG and what we do. And then the addition of making me the head of sports for UTA, which was, again, something I didn't even fathom through our conversation, was just a testament to hard work and you know, and I appreciate my team for being able to allow me to be positioned as such. So, you know, it's like a two-headed monster, which is really unbelievable. So I'm looking forward to that as well. And so it's just good. It's good times, man. You know, it's a blessing, you know. And, you know, I know we talk about certain things and, you know, but I'm in the God First Club. I'm into knowing what you don't know club. I'm in that club. And when you understand those things, you understand that partnerships, growth, you know, surrounding yourself with key people, strengthening your infrastructure, all those things are for the betterment of the athlete. And ultimately, the entire goal is for all of us to be successful. And, you know, what success brings is just a bigger platform to work harder, you know. And so I think that we're seeing that today. And so I couldn't be more excited for us as a company, but also for our clients that we represent, because these guys are into so many different things, and to be able to just help them in every way possible at the highest level, I think is important. It's very important.
One of the reasons that Jalen and I in particular are such big fans of what you've done at Clutch Sports Group and what you've done in your entire career is you're not part of the old boys club.
Just a good old boy. Yes.
You're not part of like the old boys
never
club
no harm.
At the huge agency.
Beat
you know,
all you never
started
saw
small and grew Clutch Sports to the point where an agency like UTA wanted to work with you and partner with you. What were some of the challenges early on when you were building KSG?
Well, again, you know, Clutch stands for knowledge, longevity, understanding, trust, commitment, and honesty. And if you look at its logo, it's a hand like clutching the world, clutching the globe. And you have to be clutching in your sport, but you have to also be clutch in life and making, you know, the right decisions, so on and so forth. And so there were challenges, but there are always going to be challenges, you know. You have to earn your stripes in this business. There's been guys that come before you that are going to pave the way. You know, you look at the yesterday Hall of Fame players. They couldn't dream of making the money that today's player make, who might not even be as proven. But that just goes towards the success of our business in its entirety. And so you understand the challenges. Growing up, there was always challenges every day you walked outside your front door. So the challenges, I was okay with. Again, we talked about the double standard. I'm okay with that. I understand that when previous agents did things, it was seen as genius. Today, when I do the same things, it's seen as disruptive, or is he bad for the league, you know, and things of that nature, which that's okay. That's okay, because I find that as respect. You know, it went everything from what you can't do to okay, but he's just somebody's friend. Okay, but and then to all the way to, oh, well, he wear white after Labor Day. Okay, fine. You know, I get all of that, but I'm in the God First Club again. I'm in the Know What You Don't Know Club. You know, and so for me, I just try to surround myself My team is great, you know, and I don't do this stuff alone. You know, I've learned so much from guys like Mark Termini, who people may not even know, but I've learned so much from him in the last 6 years that I feel like, you know, I couldn't have got a better education at any university across America. You can't teach these things. And so, but the challenges, I respect the challenges because you have to earn your stripes in anything you do in life. So I don't look at that as a negative. I look at that as a positive. I understand who I am. I understand skin color. I understand, you know, all of those things. And I take full responsibility for that. And so, my goal and my personally and as a company, our goal is to just keep pushing. You know, the marathon has to continue because there's still a lot of work to be done, and we've had some success, but you can't swim in your successes. You have to continue to keep your head down, keep working, continue to educate yourself, continue to surround yourself with smart people, with driven people, with people that want to work and not make it about them, but make it about us. And so as long as we continue to make it about us, I think we'll be able to better serve our clients to the utmost level. I'll continue to fight for players to have a better education in the business of basketball. And you don't have to know everything, but you just have to be in the know. Because if you're in the know, then you can get places. But, you know, you see a lot of times people want to prove everything they know. Well, that's not really important. So, you know, and you just try to build on good habits and good principles. And if you do those things, we're going to be all right. You don't want to be the biggest. Just be the best. Just be the best. You don't have to be the biggest. Just be the best.
I definitely appreciate your honesty and your candor on that. For those that have not been paying attention to the league for the last 60 or so years, other than the players on the floor, the big-time agents have been the heartbeat of movement in the game. It just so happens that one of them now named is Rich Paul, who didn't grow up as a part of that quote-unquote Good on Boys network, and sometimes that makes people feel uncomfortable. So I appreciate the fact that you keep your head down and you keep focused on trying to get your goals accomplished.
That's it. That's all.
So we've seen what you guys have done, you know, with Spring Hill and Uninterrupted and Robot and Clutch Sports Group and all these different things that you and your team have done outside of just the world of basketball on the floor. But one thing that LeBron did this year, I wanted to ask you about, teaming up with none other than 2 Chainz.
Full bracelets!
And like A&Ring an album. I mean, like, what about the relationship between hip-hop artists and basketball players? Is this something that we expect to see more of moving forward?
Well, it's always existed. Just didn't have the platform. You know, hip-hop artists wasn't making enough money to sit consistently courtside in these arenas. And didn't have the access to do so. Today, it's important for your brand to be aligned with hip-hop because hip-hop drives culture. So, you know, the 2 Chainz and LeBron thing was great. And you see artists. I have a ton of, you know, right now I'm listening to everybody. I'm listening to Moneybagg Yo. Baby's my guy. He did my daughter's Sweet 16, which was courtesy of P and Coach K, so I appreciate them for that. And my guy Twin and over there at QC. You know, we've always been close with Drake. We've always been close with Jay-Z, who is, you know, is family, to us. The list goes on and on. T.I., you know, we listen, you know, hip hop, the music and artists, I mean, and athletes is always there. You look at the Migos, Quavo is just a bigger athlete as anybody. He just don't get paid to play, but he'll pull up and play pickup. He'll play football. He loves the youth, the community, and he does great things, driving sports initiatives throughout the community for a great. That's very important. You look at the impact that Nipsey had. You look at a guy like J. Cole and what he represents. He loves to hoop, you know. Drake loves to hoop. Chainz loves to hoop. You know, I see Chainz at the pickup game with guys working out. You know, so all those things. And then you talk about the support at the games. You know, these guys come to games. They're performing at halftime. They don't have to do that, but they do it. You look at the NBA All-Star Weekend. Look at the guys who come out and a performing at that. And so I think it's important. I think it's important, and it's always done it. If you look at the Fab Five, Jalen, you guys were on everything, you know, everything back then, all genres. Everything from just Detroit rappers, which is local, and people know that that Detroit has a hip hop scene that is so important to them, and you honor that, and it's some unbelievable talent in the city of Detroit, and always have been, and what they speak, you can feel it coming through those speakers. And although they may not, you know, you may not know somebody all the way in California or whatever, but you're gonna know them, and you're gonna feel that, and that's important. We get that in Cleveland, because we all so close, so we understand that. And then it's also, you know, the more, you know, commercialized music that people are listening to today. So it's always been a part of that. It's just today it's more prevalent due to hip hop music is culture in its entirety. Before it was a genre. Now it's the genre. It's the culture of, you know, the world. Like, look at it. Look at the world. These kids are performing at festivals across the world. One day they're in France, then they're in Africa, this, that. I mean, it couldn't be a better time, you know, in everything that Nipsey did, you know, in his initiatives. And so, you know, I'm listening to guys like that right now. Roddy Ricch, listening to him, you know. So it's just so many different guys. I love it, though. I'm in Cleveland, we were a melting pot of music. So back in the day, we was listening to the Suave House and you know, Master P, you know, all the way up to the East Coast, you know, Public Enemies, the Gang Stars, the, you know, Wu-Tangs, and, you know, and then out to the West Coast, NWAs, the DOCs, you know,
legend,
Death Row stuff, all
legends.
That. And then you had,
hey, Rich, I'm glad you brought this up. Mm-hmm. A couple of things. It's because mainstream America finally had to embrace hip hop because they realized hip hop sold products. And it started with the Detroit Pistons and MC Hammer, the You Can't Touch This. I remember going to arenas when all they were playing was Whoop, There It Is. That was as close as you could get to rap music.
Yes.
So when you bring up Cleveland, can you challenge David Jacoby on something before you leave the show? And I appreciate you joining us. He had a nerve to speak into a microphone, and you're gonna...
What's happening here?
He had the nerve to slander Bone Thugs and Harmony. Can you please get this guy? I'm just saying.
You cannot...
Listen, everyone's got their own flavor. That's not my flavor.
But wait
That's
a minute.
All. It's
but
my
wait
opinion.
A but wait a minute.
That's
how
my
can,
opinion. That's my
you,
opinion.
But hold up, Jacob. How can you slander Bone? Bone is one of the only rap groups to have a song with Biggie and Pac.
And Easy.
Okay.
And those are the songs I like from them.
Okay.
Rich Paul, they're telling me we gotta go.
Okay.
They're telling me we gotta go.
They went diamond.
Okay. Once you start making fun of me, it's time to end the show. I'm sorry. Thank you so much for coming on. You're welcome to come on anytime you want. Congratulations on your success as being named head of sports at UTA.
It's the thuggest, ruggest bone. Don't sleep on the Midwest, Jacole.
Please don't sleep.
The Jalen and Jacoby podcast is presented by Goodyear. Drive always discovers possibilities. Goodyear, more driven. Jalen Rose, not everything is worth discussing on national television.
We do not force topics on this program.
So we have a segment called Keep It Moving. If you want to talk about the topic, you say hit the brakes. If not, me, you, and Method Man, keep it moving. Are you ready, Mr. Rose?
Let's get it.
Okay. Manny Pacquiao is Pacquiao. Keep it moving or hit the brakes?
Hit the brakes.
Pacquiao beat undefeated Keith Thurman in a split decision over the weekend. Are you surprised he's still this effective this deep into his career?
So first and foremost, as somebody that's worked for Top Rank Boxing, that's been in the gym multiple times with Manny Pacquiao and Freddie Roach, I consider them a part of my boxing family.
Shout out.
I got to make sure I big up Manny because since the Floyd fight, his career took a level of turbulence that people who follow boxing closely really understand what I mean. And that puts you in position of peril. either you're closer to being on your way out,
mm-hmm.
or you get a chance to fight your way back into contention. And for him to become the only 8-time world champion in boxing, for him to drop Thurman in the first round, a guy that's been notoriously a slow starter. How about that right hook he hit him with? I think it was in the 10th round.
It's huge.
I want to give Manny props first. Second, disappointing to Keith Thurman. Disappointing to Keith Thurman.
Yeah.
Because as one of the young and up-and-coming defeated champions who just had a lackluster fight the fight previous, this was your chance to come out and to send a message. And you know what he said he was going to do to Manny? He said he's going to retire.
That didn't happen.
You know what else he said he's going to do to Manny? He said he's going to crucify.
That didn't happen.
And that did not take place.
One thing I want to notice about this is big shout to the Fashion Nova sponsorship on Manny Pacquiao. Next, a boxer got knocked out of the ring. Keep moving and hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
Cassius Chaney did this to Joe Caudill. Just take a look.
Mm.
Just land it blow after blow. And then, gone. He's out. He's out the ring on the floor. Jalen, could you even consider getting back in the ring after that happens to you?
Not only could I not consider getting back in the ring, what a way to make a living. Yeah. I remember going to Kronk's gym when I was young, and Emmanuel used to keep the doors open. And I felt like I was going to be the new Motor City Cobra. I was tall. I was lanky like Tommy Hearns. And I was going to go in the gym and show some cats. And I'll never forget getting my nose dotted. And my eyes just wouldn't stop running. I was like, I'm good. Take these off of me.
take these off of me. James Harden spoke
his name
on
was
his...
Cassius. He's supposed to be knocking dudes out the ring.
James Harden spoke on his relationship with CP3. Keep moving.
Hit
at the brakes.
The brakes.
Let's listen to James Harden address the tension between him and CP3.
Disagrees on the court. Your arguments on the court, but that's just part of basketball. I think everybody has that, no matter what level of basketball you're in. So, but all the negative media stuff and all that stuff that was going on, running, it wasn't true. You know, me and Chris had constant communication, and, you know, we're good.
To paraphrase, basically, look, arguments happen on the basketball floor. We communicate. We're good. All that's rumors.
They lost to the Warriors 4 out of 5 years in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
If they find a way to beat them, we're not having this conversation.
Nope.
But since they didn't beat them, Golden State lost KD. They're going to be without Klay. And now all of a sudden it seems like the championship picture is wide open. It's only right for the Houston Rockets to acquire a guy like Russell Westbrook if they can. So they did. It totally makes sense. Now for James Harden, he is going to have to do some of the things on the floor with Russell that he didn't do with Chris Paul. And that's have a level of interest when somebody else is initiating the offense.
Mm-hmm.
Not distorting the spacing, not walking towards half court. And I think he's going to do that. And on the flip side, because there are two people we're talking about right now, I noticed something. James Harden ain't in them State Farm commercials no more. I noticed the version that they ran the other day where it shows Chris Paul's Houston jersey in the garage. Oh, they barely show that. So James Harden gets a chance to keep his Rockets. He gets a chance to keep the roster in tow and add Russell and be on a contender. Chris Paul takes the sponsorship with him.
Tobias Harris spoke out about his role last year on the Sixers. Keep moving and hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes. Because I want to hear what he had to say, especially with Jimmy Butler being there.
Tobias Harris said he was underutilized by the 76ers last year. Brett Brown actually agreed. Do you expect that to change next year?
Yeah. How much they pay him?
Oh, lots of money.
$180 million. That's the highest on the team. What they're going to need him to do is be a closer. We know Joel Embiid can get a shot versus anybody that's his position with the best of them facing the basket or with his back to the basket. But when there's 13, 14 seconds to go on the clock, you need a perimeter guy that can break down the defense, make a shot, and or create for somebody else. That guy this year needs to be Tobias Harris. I'm looking forward to see his growth.
The Bucks signed another shooter. Keep moving at the break.
Keep it moving.
Jalen been moving. Jacoby
Kyle
moving.
Kyle Korver
moving. Keep it moving.
Is going to provide that spacing to help the Greek Freak. So is Wesley Matthews. They're getting these guys on one-year contracts.
Everybody that can shoot. There's no one on that team that can't shoot except
the Greek Freak.
The MVP.
That's how you do it. With range, consistently.
Anthony Davis mentioned playing on another team that was not the Lakers.
Keep it moving. He ain't even played for the Lakers yet.
We keep it moving.
I know he loves Chi-Town and all, but he ain't playing with LeBron there.
The Reds are wearing sleeveless jerseys.
Hit the brakes. I want to see Yasiel Puig's guns.
And that has affected their workout routine. Let's check in on the Reds during the... See, you got the sleeveless jersey on. You got to get the pump on out before you get out there. You know what I mean? Look, if the guns are out, you got to get a little swole. Do you ever work out before going to the beach or a pool party?
Never.
I've never done that either. I have friends that do these like push-ups before they're going to the beach or whatever.
Overrated.
Like, you think that makes a difference,
That's
Doug?
Mental.
Like, you think that really makes a difference?
Those three lifts right there ain't the reason why his arms look the way they do.
Exactly. That's a lifetime's worth of work.
Yes.
Are they joking with this or are they really doing this?
They're doing both. It's serious because they are athletes and they are training. And I like that they're doing the sleeveless because a lot of times people underestimate the fact that baseball players, most of them are in really good shape because we take cues from the players that we see that aren't in the best shape and assume that all baseball players, for whatever it's worth, aren't in great shape. So I like that the Reds are doing this. Sun's out, guns out.
Guns out. Jalen Rose, have you ever played basketball with sleeves?
Yes, in high school.
In high school, you did. Oh, you're so skinny you didn't want people to see your arms?
No, just something we did as a team. But as soon as I got to college and I played those 3 years and then start playing in the league, I could not go back to sleep.
We were about to play pickup. You're like, hold up. Like, you're about to start the game. You're like, hold up.
No
like,
doubt.
Because when you're about to start the first game, everyone's all antsy and excited. We were so excited to play at Jim's. Like, no, wait. Everyone, we got to stop this.
Uh-uh.
I got sleeves. I can't play with sleeves.
If I hear my nails hit that ball, I'm getting right to a dead ball. I'm biting them all off. Same with sleeves.
We keep it moving.
Well, Le'Veon Bell was walking through an airport, took out his phone, and he recorded a message for the haters. Let's check out Le'Veon Bell.
Hey, real shit, bro. I'm tired of social media. I'm tired of everybody telling me y'all ain't me. You're not focused. You only want to make music. You think Bron is waking up? Oh, he ain't having no Taco Tuesdays. Bron don't have Taco Tuesdays. Y'all think he's just whooping all day? I ain't supposed to be in this airport on the escalator. I'm supposed to be running up the steps, huh? Just for y'all. I'm going to give y'all this one time. Run down these steps. Look, I'm running down the escalator. That's what I like. This is what y'all want him to do, too. This is what I got to do, too. He a normal civilian. I'm guessing that's what I got to do. The normal civilian, y'all just running, working out, not eating, not doing just working out all day.
Well, it's funny. It is. It's funny. But it is also interesting. It's sort of a, he is basically saying, listen, like, because I have other interests outside of my sport, I get criticized for that. What do you expect me to do? Play football and work out 24 hours a day. What do you think about his rant?
I think athletes today are so much smarter than we ever were. And they understand, like Rich Paul just mentioned to us, that they're a business that happens to be really good at sports, not the other way around. And for a player like Le'Veon Bell, who's accomplished so very much in his playing career, established himself as being one of the best backs in the game, just got paid top dollar by the Jets to do so. He started his unhappy rant by saying, I'm tired of social media, which is an evil you can control.
Is he giving too much
on the comments?
Is he giving too much weight to the opinions of strangers on social media?
Well, what happens is when you give weight to opinions on social media, guess what people do? Continue to try to leave comments and hope that you respond to them.
Yes.
And then cheerlead when you do. Hey, friends, look. I actually got Le'Veon Bell to respond to
Say
me.
Say something mean
and
to me.
And then networks put that post and the response up on television and create topics. What I saw is a guy that just antsy to play football. What has happened, remember, he missed all of last year. So he's been hearing this for longer than players usually get a chance to hear it when they're in their prime.
Yes, and he had a record release party. You know what I mean? He was playing some hoops. Like he spent his time enjoying himself off field last year, and he should. When you were working out at the peak of your game, how many hours a day during the summer would you spend actually working out?
You work out for a few hours, whether it's doing drills early, then you try to get some R&R in the afternoon, and then you play 5-on-5. That's what I'd like to do. I wouldn't like to only do drills. Mm-hmm. I like to play because there's certain things that get simulated during the actual playing of the game. It could be a rec game. It could be a YMC game. It could be whatever. Like, there's just certain intricacies to me you get by actually playing. So it takes up no more than 4 or 5 hours of your day.
Yeah. And you're waiting for 16.
At that point, you get a chance to
champagne and campaign and enjoy the fact that you're a millionaire. And you made it to the top of your profession. Not many people can walk the face of the earth and say that.
Here's what this really is. Airplanes can be frustrating. Airports can be frustrating. You know what I mean? It's the environment, sometimes the delays and the security or the service on the flight. He was just a little mad at the airport.
And also, I mean, if you really want to prove something to the haters, run up the stairs or the escalator, not down.
You know he got off the flight. That's how you know he just got off the flight, because he was going down the stairs.
He just looked down at his phone and people were like, oh, you got a
some
nerd.
Some comments or whatever. Yeah, exactly.
For y'all that don't know, Master P was an artist that also played basketball.
Last year, Julio Jones held out a training camp. His contract was tweaked a little bit, so he was happy with it. He came in. He expected to get an extension. He did not get an extension that he expected. However, he is going to report to training camp. What does that tell you about where Julio is at?
That tells me that I trust and believe in my agent. I trust and believe in the general manager. But I'm so very talented that I know the owner going to take care of me. That's what that tells me. Because last year when you don't show up, that plants the seed. This year, when you do show up, that means y'all definitely got to take care of me. And I anticipated getting done like he does, and rightfully so. Not only is he one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, he's one of the best players in football. I anticipate this deal is going to get done before training camp ends.
And in case you forgot, look at the value of Julio Jones. Just look at the value. I mean, the most receiving yards in a five-year span. That's not just right now. That's all time. That is all time. And he had more receiving yards than anyone else
Megatron!
Last year. He's about to get paid. Megatron.
Don't go there.
Okay. We'll move on. Okay. Let's check in on Antonio Brown's workout. Antonio Brown, he's got a unique workout style, and he's doing well. So here he is. He's got the brick and the high fives behind him. Impressive workout. But what about the loafers, Jalen? What about the white leather loafers during the workout? I'm concerned about this.
I am not concerned about the loafers at all.
Oh, come on.
That's how you show people that this is easy work. Like, I was sitting on the couch with my custom shorts, and then all of a sudden, the trainer shows up. I go to the garage, I have a mansion, I put my feet in the closest slides that I've walked on the back of these $3,000 shoes.
I know what you mean, the back heel?
No doubt about it. And I'm going to show people that not only am I training, but I'm going to show them that I'm doing something that they couldn't even try to do. So what you noticed that he did, media athlete rule 101.
What's that?
He did the opposite of Le'Veon Bell. We don't know what he was doing the other 23 hours of the day.
No, as far as we're concerned, he's working out 24 hours a day,
but
like Le'Veon Bell was talking about.
Not only am I working out, but I'm doing something that you can't challenge. So now when you put that on wax, you're going to have most of the media types showing the video. You're going to have all of the fans actually trying to duplicate what he did. And they're going to take from it that he's getting ready for the season.
You can do it.
I believe I could do
it. That didn't look that hard.
Well, here's what makes it tough. It's not that the hand-eye coordination isn't something that you can embody. It's how heavy the brick is. That's the key. If that brick is like 15 pounds, I'm out.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Now, if it's like 2 pounds, I could do it once or twice.
It's time for News That Matters. Over the weekend, it was hot. Especially here in New York, but all over the country, there's a heat wave coming through. The police went so far in many places to request that criminals hold off on criminal activity because it was too hot outside. Jalen, what do you think about this?
I think that it's unfortunate in a lot of major metropolitan cities, including Detroit, that the police is understaffed. So it's really important for those guys to be active and diligent and protecting and serving. But if I did what they did for a living, I'll do the same thing. I got on a uniform. I got a gun.
Oh, yeah. Maybe a bulletproof
vest. I got a
taser. All these things I
got
to carry.
Club.
Boots on and pants.
Y'all chill,
it's
man.
It's too hot.
I ain't trying to be chasing nobody and doing all that stuff in this 100-degree
weather. I'm running. Oh, no chance.
I'm with the police
no
on this.
No chance.
I'm with them on this.
Now, if you're a criminal, isn't there a part of you that's being like, wait, are you trying to tell me you ain't going to be out there?
No, that's the Jedi mind trick.
Okay, good point. Odell Beckham Jr. was profiled by GQ magazine He's on the cover of GQ magazine.
That's a good look.
And he had a lot to say. Here's what he had to say about his move from the Giants to the Browns. Quote, "This is me being honest. The team has not been good for the last 6 years, period. I felt disrespected because I felt like I was a main reason at keeping that brand alive. They were getting primetime games still as a 5-11 team. Why? Because people want to see the show." Went on to say, "I felt disrespected. They weren't even man enough to even sit me down to my face and tell me what's going on. On the other side of it, I was excited about a new start because I had been, honestly, I've been praying to God this season, the season before this season, for a change." Jalen Rose, there's a lot to discuss here.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, what do you think about him feeling disrespected when he was traded?
All players take it personal when they moved, especially if they want to be in the location that they get moved from.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can hear a little frustration slash bitterness coming out in his commentary when he says that the team wasn't good at all. And they weren't. They didn't win a playoff game in the years that he played for the team. I think they made some questionable decisions, in particular allowing Eli Manning to be their starting quarterback, not only that last year.
Year before.
But going into this year, I don't like who they drafted at the 6th pick. Maybe I would have liked it better if they'd have took him at the 17th pick. But we'll see how that plays out. What I do love is them taking Saquon Barkley. But as a player, when you're considered the best player, this is where you have to be careful. All of the stuff that he says about the team, like not being good, like being 5'11", that's a reflection of the players on the field.
So what do you think about him essentially saying, he didn't say it out loud, but he essentially said the reason they were getting primetime games because they wanted to see me.
There's truth to that. There will be games that the Giants were able to get on Thursday, Sunday night, Monday night because they have an elite player. But here's what he's going to learn this year. They play in a large market.
It's also
and
New York City, the biggest city in the country.
Yeah. Because you can profile somebody on the team.
And they're the most popular team in the biggest market. So they're going to get some primetime games. And with the Browns having the roster they have, they'll get some primetime games too, but they're going to have to live up to it.
But again, as somebody that was in uniform, you got to tread lightly on talking about the team wasn't good and that the team was 4-5-11. When you were playing, it ain't like he wasn't playing. He got hurt at some point during, obviously, his handful of years there. But I'm just happy that he gets a fresh start in Cleveland, and he is going to come out and do work this year.
Yeah, I look forward to that. And I think he's in a better spot in Cleveland now. It's ultimately worked out. But he said that they didn't sit him down man-to-man to tell him what was going on.
That never happened.
Nope. That's what I'm about to say. It was like, it seems to me that if I'm trying to move a player, I'm not going to tell him until the deal is done, just in case the deal isn't done, right?
Because you don't want the player also to sabotage himself.
Yeah.
Sabotage the deal. And or now all of a sudden, if I know that I'm being moved, you might as well have moved me yesterday because I'm not giving you full throttle effort at that point. I'm not giving you the commitment that I believe that I'm going to be there. So therefore, since I know I'm being moved, you're getting a half effort emotionally.
Yep. So seems like the Lakers have filled out the final spot in their roster with none other than Antetokounmpo. What? Not Giannis. Kostas Antetokounmpo.
What?
Now, conspiracy theorists are going to say that this is a move to sort of ingratiate yourself with the Antetokounmpo family in hopes of getting Giannis to come there in 2 years. Do you think that had anything to do with this decision?
Yes. This is all about planting seeds and hope to create a harvest. Sometimes it happens. You could be the Clippers and hear what Bruce Bowen has to say about Kawhi Leonard and be like, we got a chance to get him. So we're going to fire that guy because he's closer than the Spurs, closer to the Spurs, and they retire his number. We didn't. And then all of a sudden, guess what ends up happening? Kawhi Leonard comes.
Wearing a Clipper uniform. So.
Or it happens in the other way where the Mavs felt like they probably were going to do this. And then now the Lakers feel like they're going to do this.
Yep.
People are saying that about DeAndre Jordan. Well, he was a member of the Knicks and he was unhappy with how they did him. So he's not going to talk good about them to KD. So KD's not going to go play there. In this case, Giannis eventually is going to be a free agent.
And he talks to his brothers.
And you hope that your brother come home and say, hey, man, you need to come kick it in L.A.
I want to thank Rich Paul for joining us. Congratulate Rich Paul for being named the head of sports at UTA.
He's killing them.
Full week of shows this week, which means we'll be back tomorrow. Why is that, Karis?
We're not done. Got to give the people now. Give the people all what they want.
They my little guys. I love them.
What it do, baby? Yeah.